with my multi pose on Wednesday night.
Two new Shilas. So one new Shila, which it's not a new Shila, it's an old Shila. There's already a Mishnah about it, but unfortunately, it's become a Shila more recently, very recently in the last year. And that is the question: oh, is it Muta, or is it Asa, or is it neither? Maybe it's just like Paruf to do a deal with hostages. Are you allowed to redeem hostages for terrorists? What's the terrorist hashkafa on this? You know, everyone's got an idea and everyone's got an opinion. And you ask around, everyone's got their decision. But we want to know, what is the halacha? So there's a Mishnah in Gittin, Memheo Medalof. The Mishnah says, Ein poidin es hashvuin, yuiz bichtei demen. So Mishnah in Gittin, in Hashilech, do you not poida shvuin? Captives, Yoisa Michtei Demen, more than their value. What does that mean? Back then, when there was a regular market for regular slave traders, so everyone had a value. A man, a woman, depending on the age, depending on what they're capable of, there was a value. So the pirates came along, they captured a person, and they put him up for ransom. Or they called the contact of the family, the community. We've got your friend, whatever. £500, rubles, whatever they give. So the halacha is, ain't point them shvuin, you can't be point them, more than their value. The Gemara asks, why not? What's the problem? The Gemara says, is the reason because they're going to drain all the finance from the community? Or is the reason that by paying the ransom, you're encouraging them to kidnap more? The Gemara doesn't give an answer. It gives a story about someone who paid a lot of money. The Gemara doesn't give a clear answer. L'maisa, Shulchan Aruch, Rish and Beis, El Chastaka brings down that the reason is because they're going to do it again. So when we ransom people, we pay hostage money, we're worried that what will happen? They'll take another one and another one. And eventually the whole system will just go crazy. We know there's a famous story by Aram Rothenberg on the Rishonim. He was actually captured, imprisoned for a ransom. His Talmud, the Rosh, wanted to redeem him. The Maram Rothenberg said, absolutely not. The Rosh was going to go behind his back and be poisoned anyway. And Maram Rothenberg found out, sent a message from prison. No, absolutely not. No, nothing to talk about. Do not be poisoning me. Why? Because this sugya, this mission, this Gemara, that he knew what's going to happen next. They'll go to the next rabbi and they'll charge more money. Therefore, he didn't. He was nifted in prison. They got his body out 14 years later. But the Maram Rothenberg, sadly, Bzev Yomov, was in jail. The question is, though, can we make a comparison between this sugya and the hostages of today in Gaza? Firstly, he is talking about Ein Poid Neshuvin, because why not? Like we said, what will happen? They'll take more. The idea of a terrorist organization like Hamas is not to ransom. It's not why they
want money.
They take hostages. Oh, we'll get to it in a minute. They take the hostages because they can bargain out for the... Now, what happens if we would not negotiate with terrorists, if we take America's policy? So then what would they do? Buy the captives. If no one paid, the industry will go kaput. And eventually, no one's going to end up being capturing people, because you realize they're not worth anything. With people like Hamas, they're not going to not do the damage. Meaning, if they would have been told on Simchas Torah, by the way, all the hostages you've got, that our new policy by Hamas is we don't want them for ransom, they wouldn't return them home. They would just kill them. So you're not preventing anything again. If the pirates find out that they're not paying the money, they'll stop capturing people because they're not ransoming them. There's no value. But Hamas are going to find out that we don't negotiate, so next time they'll just kill them. They're not going to... Maybe there's more. If we keep ransoming them, there's more likely they'll keep them alive. Instead of killing people, they'll take more and more people to get their chevra back. But you haven't avoided the problem, the threat, by not ransoming. So that could be different. A. B. Back then, as we said, the Mishnah says, you don't pay more value. Here, we're not talking about pay. There's no price. They're not asking for money. If they ask for money, you can say, it is worth it, isn't worth it, they're going to do it again. Here, it's a very different sugya, because they're not asking for money, they're asking for their terrorists from their prisons. If every terrorist would be allowed out, and the Israeli jails would be empty, then it's not so simple that they would still come to still take hostages. There's no game anymore, there's no gain, they've got nothing to do. So it's very difficult to compare it to the sugya in Gittin and the Shulchan Aruch Rish and Beis, because these differences between what happens by them and what Shulchan Aruch is talking about. So Shulchan Aruch says that we don't pay excessive amounts more than the value. What's the value? So Mefarshim of Shulchan Aruch say, slave value. You go find out what a slave is worth. There is exception. Someone wants to pay for themselves. They've got money. Or a family member. Or anyone, a friend. A yachid can pay any amount of money to take someone out. Bring someone out from captivity. The tzibur don't pay the money to get him out, because the tzibur achroi on everyone, and if this keeps going on, then there'll be a problem. So that's maybe why it's a little bit different between the Gemara and Gittin and what they're doing here. There was this child as well a couple of years ago, and these boys took the suitcases to Japan, and they were full of drugs. And it was the same idea, Pitin Shavuim. How much does everyone, when they made an announcement that the money they had spent on trying to get these kids out had hit £50 million, and they wouldn't have yet? How much? What was the halacha of Pidyon Shavuim? So we know everyone has Pidyon Shavuim is one of the highest mitzvahs there are, and we sell is one of the two things you sell a sefer Torah for. Normally, you don't sell a sefer Torah for two things. One of them, Pidyon Shavuim, you even have to sell a sefer Torah. That's how important Pidyon Shavuim is. Oh, so firstly, over there, pung that gate, they didn't know. So do you say Pidyon Shavuim is when a person gets captured, or the Ma'aseh Shulchan Aruch does say that someone who gets captured and then he goes back to the goyim and makes a deal with them, you know what, capture me and charge money, goes round more than once, you're not paid him. Because then it's just his business venture. You don't do that. Here, it wasn't really their fault they were captured. Now, the next question is, why is Pidyon Shavuim such a big mitzvah? Shulchan Aruch says, a mitzvah gedolim mizu, and brings a list of 6-7 mitzvahs. Why is it a big mitzvah? Why save these people? What for? Is it uncomfortable in jail? It's Mashman Shulchan Aruch that was dangerous. Which means that what happened was, back then, you think about Yosef in Mitzrayim, in jail, in a pit, there was terrorists there, there was all sorts of unfriendly people, there was dangerous animals maybe, there was the people, the guards. But if someone, for example, is taken ransom, whatever, by a British jail. Now, they're very comfortable. They say they like travel lodges. Some people are upset why they like a travel lodge, it should be better. So, is there a Pidyon Shavuim? There's no lechera threat to life. Let's say they're in a safe prison for only white collar crimes, there's no one dangerous there. Is it Pidyon Shavuim? Or is it not? Pidyon Shavuim could be that a person's in danger. Here there's no danger. So it's a little bit difficult to know how do you exactly view it, how do you compare it. It's interesting because when they let these hostages out, the Goyish revolt, the whole momentum is women first. Now normally we know men first in Yiddishkeit. However, here's different. Because women often have more of a danger posed to them by being under someone else's jurisdiction, therefore, the halacha is taka women first. So here, taka, they will become first. That would work very well with halacha. But the question is, do you pay and how much do you pay? Chazanish said he's very happy that he said it's very practically good that the government is not from. Because if they were from and they would ask him shailas, he wouldn't know what to say. It's very difficult shailas. Do you go to war? Do you redeem them? Do you pay? And also, if you work out as value, how much is a yid worth? You know, is it, they want 3-1. What? And when Gilad Shalit, that they freeze over 1,000 terrorists for him. And that's what they wanted. We'll give you back for over 1,000 terrorists. A couple of months later, there was a bit of trouble somewhere in one of the areas, and they went in and they killed hundreds of Arabs, and a soldier got killed. And someone was interviewed on national television, and he said to them, that how can you justify going and killing thousands of people? He said, we also sustained a loss. He said, yeah, you had one soldier dead, we had thousands, we had hundreds. He said, yeah, but that's, you put the ratio and the price like that. You said one Jewish soldier is worth 1,000 of you. So that's the ratio, the price that you, like I said, that an Arab is worth. 1,000 Arabs with one Jew, that's your market price. But here, how much, what's called too much? But if you follow it through, what's the reason why you can't pay too much? They might do it again. So as long as it's a temptation for them to do it again, there'd be a problem. So if it would be 1-1, maybe that's not such a temptation because they get one out and they've caught one and it takes a lot of trouble to catch a person, maybe that'll be okay. But once you're paying too much, then it could be, it'll be nichal in this problem of giving them the availability to capture them because you pay yusmich leidimim, but again, it's not a cash value, so it's hard to know what exactly would be called in this geder yusmich leidimim. There was a chur for a Moshe going around. I don't know if it was an authentic chur for a Moshe. There could be a lot of chuvas surfaced later, and they're unknown how they came to be. I don't think it was in actually the first seven chalakim. Because Moshe could be was, I don't think it was. And this shuvah, Moshe had a different nakuda. He said they were talking about this sort of problem about swapping hostages for terrorists, and he says that if you think that by not doing the deal you need to prevent terrorism, he says it's not dafka true, because there's unfortunately plenty more terrorists out there, and if they don't do it, they'll do it. Someone will take care of the job of terrorizing people, so you haven't gained so much. That's an interesting point, Rav Moshe is saying, but it doesn't address Aun Nekuda. Aun Nekuda is, it could be right. It's on the point. The point is that since they're going to come to do it again, maybe we shouldn't be doing it because we're going to end up doing it again. It's interesting, Rav Moshe. Reminds me of Gilad Shalei. I remember they didn't, the Rabbonim, the Gdolim, who were involved and were asked, originally didn't allow it. And then eventually Rav Avadia gave a heta. There's a long truvis written about it, where in the end he was asking him to do the deal to get Gilad Shalei back. But it's unclear why, and would that apply in other cases, and can you take that psak and apply it always? Obviously people, Nebuch, you think about the mishpachos of these people, it's very hard to, we're not trying to say what to do and justify anything, we're trying to talk mamash a sugi in halacha, but really the pain a person feels, and of course any person who once has got someone that they love back there would do anything, but it's interesting to know what that could be, the halacha in such a case. There is interesting Gemara. The Gemara says a story with, there was one of the Tanaim, I don't remember who it was going past one of the prisons in Rome, and he saw a child in there which looked beautiful, very handsome child, and he's asked him a question, and he knew a lot of Torah, and he was quoting Pesukim, and he said, I'm making a haftacha that I'm not going to leave this place till I'm paid him, even for a lot of money, because he's a very special child, and I could see he's going to grow up to be a God of Israel. The Gemara says, who was it? B'Shmol ben Elisha. So they ask, Mafarshim ask, that how, even though from an Elisha is going to grow to be a great person, but how can you pay Yosef Mechtei Demeyen? The Tana said, I'm going to pay, even if that's for a lot of money, and the Tana asks for an exorbitant amount of money, and he pays it. So the question is, we just said Yosef Mechtei Demeyen, he don't pay. The answer is here, there's different values to a person. Shulchan Aruch says, someone who's a big Talmid Chacham, someone who's a God will be Israel, maybe someone who's very integral, everyone needs him, he's a Chveza Solomon, but I don't know what he is. There's different values to people. And Taka, someone who the Tzib will need will be worth more. So a Talmid Chacham or a child's going to grow to be a God will be Israel. Rabbi Shob and Elisha, who we know went up to Shomayim to ask about the Gezer, that's Ruga Balchus, because the Kohen Gadol, he was on the Tanaim. Him, he was worth more. And therefore, that's why this person said, it's time to say, I'm making a haftacha, that I'm making a promise, that I'm not planning to leave from here till I've paid all the money. Now, the second shaila, seeing as I have promised on the notes two shailas, really is the same, it's got to do with this as well. And that is, what's the halacha nowadays of someone who's not shomer Torah mitzvahs? Someone who's a mumma, someone who doesn't keep. These people, generally speaking, are not Haim Shidin. So what didn't they have? What did they have? Have they got a din of yid, din of a goy? And it's negiah to many areas. You don't even chal Shabbos for someone like this. You walk down the street, there's a yid, person you know is a fry yid, and he falls down. You wonder, should you call atzala? Should you not? Atzala come, can I deal with him? So it began with the shvim, but also I'm using it as a second child as well. Stam, people have children or nebuch mishpocha who aren't religious, they come home, and they're home by themselves. What's the halacha afterwards? I've got my meat, chicken, fish, wine, bread, milk, cheese, all these things they need to chosen. They're right around the kitchen, they buy it on their own. What gather do they have? We know a mumma has dinner of a goy. Shulchan Aruch says that you can lend someone a mumma ribis. It has to be amcha, so the Gemara, oysa maisa amcha. When they oysa maisa amcha, they fit like eid, they never dinner of eid, they don't, they act like they're like a goy. So what din do these people have? So the famous Chazanish that's often quoted, where Chazanish, beginning your day, Smedalot, he discusses what get that these people have. Because we know there's a Musaq, the Gemara, he says, a Tinik Shanishba Bein Amim. Commonly known as a Tinik Shanishba, was that Tinik as a child? Shanishba is captured. Bein Amim, he's captured, he doesn't know. A little baby, 6 months old, is captured. And he's taken to Africa, never seen a Jew. He's now 45 years old. So what, he's a mumma, he doesn't know. Zahinus, what can you expect from such a person? So the Chazanish discusses, is a classic person who's fry nowadays, someone's irreligious, someone in the middle of Tel Aviv, doesn't know nothing, what should he know? His parents brought him up, not from, his grandparents maybe as well. What get did these people have? Are they Tinik Shanishpa or not? Some want to say that a Tish Ishmael knows nothing. He's in Africa, he's never seen a from Jew in his life, he doesn't know what from Jew means. Where are these people? They do see from Jews, they see, you can watch on television, they can come to Yerushalayim, go to Bnei Brak, there's loads of areas, Moshavim, where there's from Yidden, they know from Yidden. The argument for Hakeh is that even if they see from Yidden, they look at us as crazy people. Just like, you know, the certain sects of Klal Yisrael that sometimes get a bit extreme, and other people say, these people are crazy. Okay, that's your opinion. But these people look at you are crazy. The same guy that you look at them, you look at these, sometimes these people get this, in the name of a Yiddish guy, do funny things. Say, this person is not normal, it's not Yiddish guy this. So these people look at you and say, you're a strange person. So the fact that they see from Jews doesn't always mean that they understand. They might even have it more complicated now. They see someone who's walking on the street with a big lulav and everything. These guys are proper crazy. It even more puts them off. But then you play it through to a child, Nebuchadnezzar of the Derech. So that, what's with that? That they know from Jews, they've experienced it. So some want to say that they never really experienced it. They got it all wrong. They heard it from their parents and then with negative connotations from their teachers or rebbes in school. And they never really understood it. Should they experience it in a positive light, where they're okay with it emotionally, mentally, spiritually, then they would understand it more. The problem is you go down this road, it gets quite dangerous, because then what is a real mumma? Oh, but so there's a mumma lach, there's a mumma l'tiyavah. He's saying all these people, they never experienced it positive. It's all trauma and issues. Fine, so, you know, I was talking to one about this recently, a big professional in mental health. He told me, today, every child is really, they're all being, trauma and issues, and it's not their fault. I said, fine, do you know, mask him, I agree to you. Show me the quintessential Rasha. What's a Rasha? No one's a Rasha. I don't know. If I was Esav, as a grandpa like Avraham Avinu, oh my goodness, Yitzchak's my father, my little brother is way better than me in everything. I was born red and I have an instinct to do things wrong, and every time I see someone I have a trigger to kill them. So I'm traumatized, it's not my fault. So now I'm not a mum anymore, I'm not a Russia anymore. It's very hard to put together. What is the clear mark where someone changes from a... Oh, he's a Russia. But today they would say, what do you mean? Do you know how you grew up? It's a rebel, it's a fair team, it's good. No, I'm not making light of it. There is a thing of trauma, and people can get things. But then, what's the ghetto, when's the change over? It can get a little bit difficult to pinpoint it. Now, even a moment we know is a moment of hachiz, a moment of tiyav. Moment of hachiz is, you do it, boy, you're a charon limerid boy. I understand and I don't care. Moment of tiyav, sadly, a lot of from people do moment of tiyav. He has one that says Lashon Hara. He says it again, and he says it again, a moment of tiyav. He's a from Yid. He's a mumma for one thing, and that one thing he's doing l'tov. He enjoys so much the Lashon Hara. I can't stop myself. Other various people do, which could be the same. It gets mumma l'tov. Today it's very standard to say most people are mumma l'tov because they don't really care ideologically and psychologically. It's more I don't know. It feels good. Kishmak. I don't want to be tied down. I want to do what I like. So they are probably a mumma l'tov more than mumma l'achas. But the clear gather when it's a mumma, or when it's a mumma, when it's an oinus, is a little bit unclear where you draw the line. So back to our hostages, if they're going to be a mumma, then they don't have a yid, walk the mashal, they're meant to come back now, Shabbos, Sunday, it's not so clear, how do they come back on Shabbos? Can it be Michal Shabbos for them? Are they Tinish Nishba? Are they not Tinish Nishba? Are they a mumma, not a mumma? Is it Hachz Letiovan? A little bit, that becomes very difficult when you try and put things clearly in a box, what gather they have. So, really, this whole sugya, we have to start with the Gemara and Gittin. Is it negate that mission then? Hey, is it what's called domain? Are they in danger? Probably are in danger. And what get do they have? Is it called the case of the pirates? Or is it Hamas different because they're going to kill anyway? Are they going to end up doing it again? Or will they anyway do it again? By the pirates, they may not do it again. Hamas will come in anyway. Next time, when they cost us, they'll just kill. Maybe by giving them terrorists back, you guarantee that they'll take the hostages to keep them alive. And then comes the final shayla. What get do these people have? Are they mumma or are they not?
Very interesting.